Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today again is Liz Christie. She is the Diocesan Parish Missionary Disciple Formation Coordinator.
We should have a race to see who can say it the fastest and not mess up.
Yeah. Yeah. We haven't made like a little...
I have a cheer for it.
Do you really?
PMDFC. That's how I remembered it from the beginning.
Great. We're talking about the Parish Toolkit, which is this new tool that the diocese has developed to help parishes develop their own strategies on missionary disciple formation. So before we continue our conversation, let's just start with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we give you thanks for this day. We ask that your blessing be upon our listeners. We ask, O Lord, that you bless our conversation and our time together through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So we are, Liz, we've been talking about this toolkit, and we're kind of in the second part, which is best practices. So The initial part was sort of an assessment of the parish and the pastor's vision, and then moving to best practices, kind of the roles that should be there. And then you were talking about hospitality. What are some of these other areas of best practices for parish life?
So hospitality, charitable outreach, and the Sunday experience, and then availability of sacraments like confession, adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, and parish devotions, you know. So just kind of assessing in all of those areas just to see what the parish is currently doing. And then we ask a series of questions to kind of, you know, just start the process of thinking about, like, maybe there's areas, you know, we could make some adjustments or whatnot.
And I think when we talk about hospitality, you know, that the place is warm, that visitors feel greeted. Yeah. I think even talking about community, kind of feeling a mm-hmm. sense of community. I guess, and you know, here it's sort of, I'm sure there are people who ask this question because I've met these people, but it's, well, why? Why do we need to be hospitable, or why does it need to be communal? Because, you know, I think, and this is, again, it's from my own experience just as a wanderer in this world, you know, that sometimes parishes can feel unwelcoming, or like as if it's just a little clique mm-hmm. that runs the parish, or that, you know, that it's not really a place for me. I can go there and get my sacraments and put some money, but it's not like a place for me to call home or to be formed even. I think that maybe we don't think about that as so revolutionary, but that probably is the most revolutionary thing that we're kind of trying to propose.
Yeah, I mean, feeling of belonging, that you're wanted and, you know, seen and heard, I mean, that's just something that's super important to people, especially right now. Just the culture and the age that we live in, people are searching for that. So when parishes can sort of exude that, you know, feeling of you belong here, we want you here, that makes people want to come back.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not just that, you know, it's not just that the world needs that now. The world's always needed it. Like the human heart wants community. And for us to think of the gospel or to think of Christ or to think of the church without a sense of community, with genuine relationships and everything like that, I don't know. You know, like it's – talk about Pharisaism or the Sadducees. You know, I think that that's probably part of the – you know, as if – well, no, religion is just doing X, Y, and Z and going through these things and – no, I think like religion is a nest, you know, that we come to rest in. It's not, you know, a task list that we check off, you know, it seems to me, but, you know. Anyway, and then charity, you know, we talk about the importance of charity mm-hmm. as a mark of discipleship.
Right. If somebody's, you know, living out their discipleship, I mean, charity is going to be a natural thing that they're just going to be drawn to do towards others.
And the parish should really exhibit this. Yes. Like, that's part of the best practice, that encourage this. I know that there's some, you know, when we talk about this phrase, missionary disciple, people ask, well, what's the mission? Is the mission running a social justice project or running perhaps a social concerns committee or a campaign to outlaw or to legalize or whatever, you know?
Right.
What is the mission that missionary disciples have received?
So the mission is from Jesus Christ to go out and make disciples of others. So that can be lived out in numerous ways, but a true missionary disciple is going to be very well-rounded, mm-hmm. not just focusing on one area, but at various, you know, aspects in their life.
But as a disciple, a missionary disciple obviously loves the poor, mm-hmm. and is charitable,
right.
is detached from the possessions and the things of this world, and, you know, and I mean, that's the basic condition. You know, in order to follow Jesus, we have to love people,
right.
you know? If you're not loving people, then you're not only are you not a missionary disciple, you're not really even a disciple.
Right, right.
Well, you know, so then you use this phrase Sunday experience as part of the best practice. What do we mean by the Sunday experience?
Well, so that's just the experience that someone would have coming into your church on the weekend. So what kind of music are they going to hear? Are they welcomed when they walk through the door? Is the homily good? You know, do they have donuts once in a while? You know, just things that would draw people in.
I don't understand why parishes don't have coffee and donuts every week. I don't understand that. And why you can't do it after every Mass.
Yeah.
Even like the noon Mass or the Saturday evening Mass. I mean, there's always time for donuts. There's always time for donuts, I think. But.
We'll add that to the toolkit.
Yeah.
Perpetual donuts.
Actually, you know, I say this because growing up in Waverly, my parish, we had coffee and donuts every Sunday.
Nice.
And that was like the life of the, I mean, obviously yeah. the Mass was the life of the community, but the people stayed there for hours
yes.
afterwards, and they talked and they socialized and, you know, they shared their issues and, you know, and if you weren't there, it was.
You were missing out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think, so then we talk about the availability of the sacraments, like confession and devotion. So these best practices, where are we getting these best practices from?
Well, they came from a lot of different resources. You know, some of it was trial and error from the parishes in our various subcommittees and what they recommended. A lot of them come from national resources. There are several large coaching resources out there, and they put forth a lot of information like this.
So after the best practices, then what does the pastor and his staff working with you, what do they then explore with this parish toolkit?
Sure. So right after best practices, then we start talking about the six elements of missionary disciple formation, which just a quick review, it's charismatic encounter, ongoing spiritual formation, missional training, discipleship small groups, ongoing catechesis, and ongoing scripture study. And so we break down each category and we go through, and that's where the resources are listed for each category, what types of programs are available to run at the parish level, and then links to gain access to all of that. So the parishes, the pastors and their staff can then look through and see, you know, because what we're recommending is to be doing something for each category, whether you're running a program or whether, you know, it's just connecting people through small groups or things like that. And the small groups are great because you can actually hit multiple categories mm-hmm. at once with your small groups. So that's a really nice thing to develop at the parish level.
And, you know, I think one of the principles that the subcommittee used was that we wanted to give pastors options.
Yes.
And that, especially with these elements, that there may be certain models that match better to their vision for the parish, or their comfort level, or and with that also the culture of the parish. So you know it's like three or four models for each mm-hmm. of these elements, so that pastors and staff kind of have some options. it would seem.
Yeah, and I've spent time researching, and I've used many of the models myself. So as I'm sitting and talking with pastors and staffs, I can help with that assessment piece, like which one's going to be a best fit here, or what have you tried in the past that maybe worked or didn't work, and let's look at a different one.
Yeah, and sometimes there's even stigmas that, you know, a pastor or a parish might have, especially if they've had a bad experience in the past.
So we don't want to, you know, square peg round hole situation. You know, we want it to work for the parish. You know, if they're going to take on this endeavor, we want them to be successful.
Yeah. Let's maybe we can kind of go through some of these elements. So the charismatic encounter, that's where they meet Christ and kind of are presented with the gospel to respond. What are some models?
Sure. So Alpha and Christ Life are two fairly popular ones, both used in our diocese. There's one coming up in the spring that we don't have yet, but it's Father John Ricardo in Acts 29. They're putting together the rescue project. Mm-hmm. So we're excited for that. They're promising it'll be ready sometime in the spring or early summer. And then there are other ones listed too, Light of the World, The Search, Wild Goose, Metanoia.
And those can be done kind of, you know, with a dinner and a presentation, or sometimes by retreats.
Right.
Or,
and even,
you know,
can be done
settings.
In homes as small groups. So,
yeah.
So there's a lot of flexibility even within the model of how you choose to run it. And many of these models can be available without a lot of cost, which is great.
Yeah. Well, we're going to wrap up and finish the rest of these elements in our next part of our conversation. You've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. Until next time, peace and all good.